I've got exciting news if you are 65 years old or older. If you've never smoked, now is the time to start. This message is from the Tobacco Growers of America. Maybe cigarettes aren't good for kids, and they can't afford cigarettes anyway. But if you're 65 or older, why not start? Yes, it's time to enjoy smoking. You've deprived yourself long enough, and now, in your prime years, you've got the disposable income to buy a carton of tar bars whenever you want. Even if you get cancer, it'll be years down the road. Let's say 25 or 30 years. Now, how long are you gonna live anyway? So if you got 'em, smoke 'em. Paid for by Big Tobacco in association with the Liquor Distributors of America.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. I've got to start with an apology that we have been recalcitrant and not doing our job in making such a long period of time go by before doing a podcast, but we are back now.
Yes.
And this is going to be the greatest podcast of all time.
Oh, my God. The content we're going to be shoving in people's ears is
Yeah, we're going to be shoving it all right. Yep, that's what we're going to do. Let's get to it, Lisa Foster, if that is your... How are you doing, by the way, before we get started?
I need you to just... Can you back off just a tiny bit?
What do you mean?
Well, I just had a very late night.
Oh.
And
God,
I'm...
Your voice is in the bucket. Listen to that.
I know.
What was like an old-time actor? Wasn't there a one named Tallulah Bankhead? She had this really low voice.
I don't want to pry into your personal affairs, darling, but you know what's the matter with you?
You're sounding sort of Bankhead-ish this morning.
I beg your finest pardon, sir. I feel very Suzanne Plachette-ish this morning.
Yeah.
I feel very Brenda Vaccaro-ish this morning and Bankhead-ish. Yeah. If you will. So I just had some friends over. Things got out of hand. I smoked some things. I drank some things.
Oh, my gosh.
I ate some things.
Oh, boy.
I laughed a lot, which I needed.
Here's the way Tallulah Bankhead laughed.
I'm working on about 3 hours of sleep because I don't know what possessed me to say, hey, Pat, would you like to do the podcast early on Sunday morning? And you said, sure. And I woke up this morning and went, I wonder how Pat would feel if I just slept another 8 hours and then got back to him on this. But anyway, this is what you got.
Okay, you can fall asleep at any moment during the podcast and I'll just try to carry on without you.
But my head is really full of cotton right now, so I'm going to need you not to be so mirthful. If you could just
be a little... I thought I'd try to bring a little more energy to this podcast, but
I'll make it
dull and prosaic like I usually do now that I know. Speaking of kind of rough, tumble voices, we lost a singer named Bonnie Tyler.
Yes.
75 years old.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Man, they compared her voice to the female Rod Stewart, which I think was pretty accurate. She had some hits, though. This one, Total Eclipse, from 1983.
Nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart.
And here's Holding Out for a Hero.
I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night.
Wow.
And it's a heartache.
It's a heartache. Nothing but a heartache. Hits you when it's too late. Hits you when you're down.
I forget, one of those was from the movie Footloose. I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Good pull. I forgot about that.
1984, Bonnie Tyler. And then we lost an actress, very unusual person, Louise Lasser.
Yes.
87 years old. She was married to Woody Allen for a while.
Was she really? Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yes. Huh. Yes.
No, seriously, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's right. And she met Woody Allen on a blind date. Woody was actually on a blind date with another woman, but he really liked her. And so they got together and they got married in 1966.
Isn't that always the way?
I don't know. You'd have to tell me.
It is for me.
Louise Lasser started doing TV commercials like these.
Another cold, honey.
Oh, you look terrible, Harry.
I feel terrible.
Take NyQuil.
Vicks NyQuil, nighttime cold medicine, relieves your major cold symptoms for hours.
I'm lucky to have you, Mildred.
I know.
And this one for Toyota.
I'm a romance for Jack. He's all business. His idea of a heavy date, a night out pricing economy cars. You know what he whispered to me last night? Toyota.
She won a Clio, which is like the Oscar of commercials. And then she did some stage work. And then, because she knew Woody Allen and was married to him, she was in some of his movies, like Take the Money and Run.
Well, I don't know. Now I think he's brilliant. I mean, just absolutely brilliant. Just when I found out that he was a criminal, I just couldn't believe it. I just thought I was going to die because he just was the best cover-up job I've ever seen in my life. I mean, unbelievable acting job. I actually believed that he was an idiot.
Bananas, she was in that movie.
Yeah.
In 1971. And then Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex, But Were Afraid to Ask, in 72.
Yeah. I didn't see any of those.
She was a woman in that movie that could only get an orgasm in public.
Maybe I do need to watch that.
Yeah, you need to watch that
I didn't see them. I'm not a Woody Allen fan, and not because of what an awful man he is, but I just was never a fan of his just, he was just weird and awkward to me. But I'll tell you what, one of my favorite shows that she was in, this is in the 80s, she was in a show, an ensemble show called It's a Living, and it was about a group of waitresses who worked at a very fancy restaurant in a very fancy building.
Life's not the French Riviera.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite shows. It's a Living. It had Ann Gillian in it, and Marion Mercer was in it, and Louise Lasser. And they wore these really pretty waitress outfits, like black velvet, very low cut, and just, you know.
Okay,
just,
now I'm falling asleep.
Oh, shut up. No, but anyway, it was one of my favorite shows.
Did you ever watch her? Because she might be best remembered for a different show. It only aired from 76 to 77, but they did a lot of episodes because it was what they call a strip show. It was on 5 days a week, a scripted show called Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman.
Yeah.
And it was a Norman Lear syndicated series, kind of a parody of a soap opera.
Yeah, it was weird.
It usually came on after the late news on TV stations, but it was aired prior to the 5 p.m. news on King TV when I arrived there back in those years. It did very well. It was a great lead-in to the news.
Yeah.
It wasn't my cup of tea, but...
No, me either. It was very quirky and...
Very quirky. Here's a bit of it.
How do you like the floor? See that glow?
What glow? Do you mean the waxy yellow buildup?
What do you mean? That can't be a waxy yellow buildup. Read the can.
Mary, you're looking at a waxy yellow buildup.
No, I'm not. I am looking at a label that says, that can't be.
Mary, I am your sister. And I'm telling you, it's not a waxy buildup there. It's a waxy buildup there.
You know, these people, I mean, they turn out about a million cans a week. I mean, who am I supposed to listen to? You?
Waxy yellow buildup.
It is a little yellow, isn't it?
Certainly is.
She was obsessed with things like that. It was a strange show, but she was perfect for it because she kind of could do strange very well.
Mm-hmm.
Louise Lasser, 87. And then, an Argentinian rock star named Indio Solari passed away, 77 years old. This guy was gigantic in Argentina. He never signed with a major record label. He never toured internationally, but in Argentina, he was gigantic. And his band was called Patricio Rey y sus Redonditos de Rocata. And the name came...
Of the cheese.
Yes, their name came from their custom of handing out cheese pastries at their concerts.
Okay, that's funny.
And this was their biggest hit. Indio Solari, gigantic.
That's one way to get a fan base, is just hand out cheese pastries.
I reckon so.
Yeah. A
and
great
then
idea.
David Clayton Thomas. Do you know who that is?
No.
What goes up must come down.
Lead singer of Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Oh, I do. I see. I love the band. I just didn't know who was in it.
Yeah. I was a sucker for any band that had a brass section. Chicago, Tower
yes.
of Power, Pinwheel Drive, Average White Band, and Blood, Sweat, and Tears were so brassy. And he sang so well.
Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn.
You've made me so very happy.
You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life.
And when I die.
And when I die. And when I'm dead. In a world to carry on, yeah, yeah.
And this song, which is not, wasn't a big hit, but it was written specifically for you.
He said, listen, listen to me.
David Clayton Thomas, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. He died, I don't even know how old he was. Let's just say he was old. And then we got late word that South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham has passed away. We don't know many details as we're recording this right now.
Yeah.
But it looks like it could have been a heart attack. 71 years old.
I'm pleased to announce we've reached agreement with the White House on a version of the Russian sanctions bill that they will support.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. And one more, Lisa. Victor yes. Willis, 74 years old. The
Who's
lead
that?
Singer for the Village People. He was usually that helmeted cop
yes.
that you would see. He co-wrote some of their hits, Macho Man.
Macho, macho, macho man, yeah. I've got to be a macho.
In the Navy.
In the Navy. Yes, you can sail the seven seas. In the Navy.
Trump always played his song, YMCA. And he liked Trump. And Trump liked him.
Yeah.
Victor Willis.
Odd bedfellows.
Yeah, 74 years old.
And now... Poetry pause.
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man, pick yourself off the ground. I said, young man, 'cause you're in a new town. There's no need to be unhappy. Young man, there's a place you can go. I said, young man, when you're short on dough, you can stay there, and I'm sure you will find many ways to have a good time. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
This has been Poetry Pause.
Okay, so we are back after that fine little aside there for cultural purposes. We like to add a little poetry to our show from time to time.
Yes.
I got an email, Lisa, from somebody who said, "You guys, I enjoy your podcast. I don't know why, but I sort of do. But I'm especially surprised because I never heard that you once had a radio program as well." And people, then the writer says, "Well, what kind of show was it?"
Oh.
And I would say, and I always say this, I say, it was stood out. It would be closer, if you wanted to compare it to anything, to a show like on public radio, like NPR. It was sort of like that. We talked about important issues. So here is an extended excerpt of a show.
You should leave it.
So as you listen to this, we had a visit from a guy named Clem Flurm, who would come on the show from time to time. Bill Swartz was our sports reporter. You'll hear him. Gary Hoffman, the newsman. And then a man named Paul Tosh did the traffic. And they all contribute to this important segment of our show.
Yeah.
I've been stung on the butt and in the armpit by a bee. And, oh, God, those are just the two, well, maybe not the two worst places, but they're not very, very high on the list for preferable spots to get stung.
I can't think of a good spot. What would be a good spot to get stung?
Maybe on your forearm.
Why would that be any better than
just easier to access? The bee that stung me on the butt actually flew up my dress, and I was standing in line at a delicatessen.
Well, maybe you should have been wearing underpants.
I had underpants on and pantyhose, but I had an A-line skirt on. It wasn't a big billowy skirt that he could fly around in. He made a beeline up my skirt, and I felt something, and I slapped it, and that's when it stung me. And
sure
I could actually feel the venom going through my leg. And it was just a horrifying feeling. I actually pulled my skirt up. This is in the delicatessen. There's an old man sitting at the table behind me. And I just started panicking, and I started pulling my skirt up. And I remember looking back, and he's just sitting back there, just staring at me, not offering to help me at all, just taking in the show. And I finally just ran into the bathroom and was able to get my pantyhose off.
Well, what were you doing? What do you mean, were you jumping around, hopping
around?
Yeah,
I was hopping around trying to figure out what...
Well, what's he supposed to do? Just look as though he's not seeing anything? You're obviously putting on a show.
No, I wasn't, obviously. I was obviously in distress.
What's he supposed to do?
Perhaps
offer some... Here, let me suck the venom out. What do you expect him to do?
He could have given me some money, at least.
Is in the studio with us this morning. Clem.
Good morning, everybody.
Well, what are you doing in town here?
Well, I've been on vacation this week. And
oh, you have?
Working on my tan.
Yeah,
look at this.
Yeah. What are you on vacation from, Clem?
Well,
I never did ask you what you do for a living.
Yeah, I got this gig. I work the window at a drive-through piano tuner.
So people bring their pianos
and rather than
have to lift it out of their car.
Well, they just drive through, yeah.
Oh, I see. So you roll the piano up.
Right, and you tune it right there while they wait.
That's a handy, I'd never heard of any place like that before.
Well, a lot of people haven't.
Yeah.
A whole lot of people haven't.
Here's a contention of a fellow here at the station, and I thought we would use the air here to demonstrate the truth or the fallaciousness of his contention here. I tend to believe this is true. And Lisa, you should be participating in this, although you don't have to necessarily, you know, feel like the responsibility to prove this one way or the other falls on your shoulders alone. But his contention is simply this. Why are men so much better at making sound effects noises than women? And in fact, he's already made the assumption that men are better at making sound effects noises than women. So I guess there'd be twofold questions.
Huh.
Are men better at making sound effects noises than women? And listen to that. Now, Clem, look at that. Now, that's...
Well, that's outstanding.
See,
that's
how many talent. Women can do water dripping sounds as convincingly as Clem there?
Well, I would say that.
Okay, there's two questions. You would say it is true, so that's the first question.
Uh-huh.
And if it is true, why is it that men are so
much
better?
Because women are busy doing actual constructive work, and we're not sitting around going,
wait a minute,
going drip, drip, or listen to my race car.
What is the nature of the constructive work that you would be doing?
Anything that doesn't require goofing off.
Oh, so women don't goof off. Is that what you're saying?
Well, can you practice your sound effects
Women don't goof off. Is that what you're saying?
Not making sound effects and doing and playing invisible sports.
You said you're never goofing off. I believe you said you were doing constructive work. It sounds like you do. That's all you do, and you never goof off.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Wow. Women never goof off.
Bold statement.
Well, I think that's a perfectly ridiculous statement. And what my contention is that you disparage men's ability to make sound effects because you can't do it. Not because you're disinterested or uninterested. You physically, for whatever reason, can't do it.
Oh,
and
really?
Therefore,
yep.
Put down something we have no talent at. That's what I say.
I can do sound effects, but I don't make it a habit of spending hours, you know, trying to sound
because
like
you can't do it.
Sound like a sprinkler,
or try
to sound like a chainsaw.
Why waste time trying to do something you can't do?
Or
listen
or
to Bill. Listen whatever. To Bill do the chainsaw. Listen to this. You people would have to take our word for this. It really is true. That's live on the radio, and Bill did that by holding the palm of his hand up across his mouth.
That's
talent. The man has talent, and men can do sound effects. Women can't.
What about the Jello sound with the?
Yeah, yeah. Men can do that.
I hate that sound.
Can you do that sound?
Yeah.
I hate that sound. I hate that sound.
People walking through mud.
Nauseate.
Men can do that sound.
It's a stupid sound. It's nauseating.
See, every time we demonstrate something, you say it's stupid. My point
is stupid.
Okay, you're not envious about the sounds that we can make. Come on, yeah. We do it all the time.
Now, what about this?
Oh, I wish I could do that.
I only say that to appeal to your male ego, so you guys think you're doing something productive.
See, I think you're making a very poor case for yourself. You're not demonstrating to us why men are better. I will say it straight out. Men are better at it because men, for whatever reason, are practicing. We are gifted at it.
There you go.
I don't think it's wasting time.
If I wasted as much time practicing, I would be just as good.
Congratulations.
You learned to do that though because you wanted to do it.
That's right.
You told me that you wanted to do that. You practiced for months. So it is in you to want to do sound effects,
just that
but because you can't. Therefore, you put it down as something that's not worth your time. I'll bet men at the highest levels of our government, professors at colleges, when the doors are closed, let's put it to the test. We want to hear from men and women today. Do women feel that it's a waste of time, that it's a silly pursuit?
Or is the truth
that women simply can't do it as
that
well?
And therefore, rather than simply have the
temerity... The courage, the honesty to say, yes, we can't do it as well. You just put it down as being some stupid male thing.
We don't want to waste our time doing that.
What are you doing with your time that's better?
The world.
And here's the traffic. Paul, you can do sound effects.
Hi, Paul. Sure, I can do a couple. Oh, hello, Clem. Clem's down there, too.
You rock.
Don't take your hands off the steering wheel.
You rock, man. You're the best.
Found a little heavy as you're around the corner past Highway 16 and... Sorry. We've got an accident clear to the right shoulder. We'll do this again shortly on Como AM 1000.
You should be ashamed, Paul.
Why should he be ashamed? This is my point. You can't do it, so therefore, let's put it down.
You aren't even considering that I just really don't have any interest in doing these dumb little sounds.
Do anything to prove me wrong. You can't.
I've got more important things to do.
You're doing this little specious circumlocutory argument that has no no foundation at all,
that
because you will not admit that men are better at sound effects than women.
That is a typical argument of somebody. They just say, because you can't, you won't do it because you can't. They don't ever consider that somebody just doesn't want to, doesn't have the time, or perhaps has more dignity than that.
Yeah, that must
so
be
I'm
it.
I'm going to take the dignified stance and say it's just, I don't want to.
You couldn't do a chainsaw if your life depended on it.
Go for it.
See, you're trying to bully me into doing it, and I'm not going to do it.
Do an animal sound effect.
All right, I'll do a monkey. I can do Flipper.
That doesn't sound like Flipper.
No.
That is so Flipper.
No.
That is.
That sounds like Flipper's offspring that had been born 5 minutes ago. That's not Flipper. Yeah. Flipper's
you did
more
a pretty good, babe.
Flipper's more. It's deeper than that. And if you give me just two minutes,
point.
I'd
why
have Flipper
why am I
down.
Even wasting my time discussing the Flipper sound effect?
You want us to tell you it sounds like Flipper? It doesn't sound like Flipper. I'm sorry.
I don't care. That's my point. I don't care.
Because you can't do it.
That's right.
Here's Lori in Tacoma. Lori.
Good morning. And it was so obvious to me why men were better.
Why?
Well, their bodies make so many noises, they know how to imitate them after a while.
And why they even need to imitate them when their body is making the noise naturally is beyond me. But.
Well, now that's a good question.
Thank you, Lori. Well, see, that's the thing, though. Men are like parrots. You hear a noise a lot, and you begin to imitate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Men, because you know why? Because men are more observant. Men observe.
Yeah.
They learn. They absorb information, and then they can give that information back out again.
And we're gifted.
That's right.
Okay.
Listen to my baby cry.
Yeah, you do have a good baby cry.
Women can't do baby cries. Women can do real cries. Bill, do another sound effect.
Another sound effect? Let's see. Oh, the sprinkler. She said that was
sprinkler. Look at you. Look how much joy you get from
that. And, you know,
that.
Men admire that,
I
too.
Know.
See, we like that. We want to see other guys do that. Men, thank God for
I
men.
I just don't understand
men bring so much joy
men.
To this planet.
I don't understand men.
Here's...
All the sounds that you want to know about with your little brother.
Huh?
Yeah. Little boys do
she
that.
She must have been raised with getting a little, boys, because I don't know.
It's getting a little dark now. I don't know where she's going.
I wasn't raised with boys, so I'm, this is, you guys are kind of like my, I'm learning all of these things from you. I wasn't raised around
that's
boys.
Think of us as your Obi-Wan Kenobis. We are your professors. And we'll school you in how in these things, and then you'll begin to understand why they're important. Here's Sharon in Arlington.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is one where I made some guys jealous, and it was a silent but deadly. So I knew for Lisa, this is one for the girl. But it was the 4th of July, and we had had the typical 4th of July meal, which included cowboy beans. Then we went to the fireworks display that was outside.
That sounds like a dangerous combination.
Oh, man, and I held a frustration for probably over an hour. So as everybody is crowding back to their cars in this huge batch of people, I cut it
loose. You were just percolating the entire time.
Yes. So as I let it go, I hear these two guys behind me discussing it. And
were they impressed?
They were so impressed. One of them said, boy, was that you? And the other one said, no. But he said, I'd have claimed it if it was.
See, that is such a guy thing.
Yeah.
Awful.
I mean, we can talk about it all we want. We want to hear from men and women who can demonstrate their sound effects on the air. And that's the only way we can draw a reasonable conclusion and demonstrate the truth of all of
this. We were not arguing that you guys are better at it.
But we want to show you how we're much better we are.
Out loud.
And we want to give you an idea of our range. Here's Jay and Kent this morning.
Hey, what's going on? Listen, Pat, every man can make some kind of sound. I mean, he might not do it, but, I mean, honestly, every man can at least do one or two cool sounds.
Hey, that's right. That's right.
That's not a good argument.
Belch. Some like Bill can do multiple sounds, but every man, you're right, Jay, can do at least a couple.
That's true. I was just telling your girl that answers the phone there that this cop was coming by, and all these people were milling around. There was a wreck, right? And he was going, what happened? But what happened? And I says, hey, man, I'll tell you what happened. These two guys came by, and it's like, and all of a sudden this guy walks out the street, and it was, I mean, you know, and the guy goes, oh, I see, okay.
That's the thing, too. You guys can't tell a story without actually...
Wasn't that much more vivid, though?
I'm trying to tell you how it went, okay? I'm telling you a real time story here.
I know you are, but you're acting it out.
Was there a siren?
No, they didn't sound like that. That's the English sound.
Boy, Jay, you've demonstrated it very well. Nicely done.
So tired.
Don't you see now? Do you see why they're important?
I don't see why.
Wasn't that made more vivid to you than
Absolutely.
Any words ever could have achieved?
I was there.
It was vivid, but it was not. He didn't have to spend all his free time practicing those sound effects to make it. He could have just told the story.
Here is Jan in a car. Jan, good morning. You're on Como.
Good morning, Sister Lisa. I totally agree with you.
Right on.
Oh, you're
sister.
A nun. No.
I know, and I only have one other thing to say, and then I'll hang up. Boys are just gross. I don't know why I'm looking for the perfect man, because I don't know that there's one out there.
I know.
Have a great day.
I know.
Well, I detect a note of rancor there.
Sure. Better stay.
Let's talk
Dr.
to Sherry
Joy.
In West Seattle.
Hey, Pat, Lisa, Clem.
Hi.
Well, one of the things I wanted to demonstrate to you was that I can actually sound like a man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This ought to be interesting.
Cool. Ready?
Uh-huh.
I hope this isn't snotty.
I like to call into talk shows as much as I possibly can. Try to do some of the different voices that I know. When I'm not changing my oil and making hand farts, armpit farts, you know, this feels really good.
That made the hair on my legs stand on it.
I
want
to know who that really was.
Way to go, Sherry.
I guess our show, Lisa, when you get right down to it, was a little too smart.
The cerebral
angle
we were trying to accomplish there.
Because
it was
a lot of morning shows, and I don't mean to derogate them, but a lot of the morning shows were kind of stupid.
They were like the morning zoo type.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We wanted to elevate ourselves from that sort of detritus and sort of lowbrow stuff. And so that I think is exhibit A of what we're talking about right there.
Yeah. That wasn't easy. That takes a lot to be able to put something like that together.
Yeah.
I don't think,
yeah.
I think people don't understand those.
No, they don't. And they never will probably.
No, they won't.
They probably never will.
And now, poetry pause.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything for young men to enjoy. You can hang out with all the boys. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. You can get yourself clean. You can have a good meal. You can do whatever you feel.
This has been Poetry Pause.
Hey, when we used to do commercials, once in a while, a salesperson at a radio station would come up to us and they'd say, hey, there's a... And all the salesmen sounded like that.
Those weren't the women. Those were the men.
Yeah, the women sounded like that too. Hey, we got an advertiser that wants to have you do a personal endorsement for their product or their auto dealership or whatever it is. And so, as I've been listening to the radio over the last few years, not being a part of it anymore, I always hear these guys, it's usually guys, who will say something like this. It's like, hi, this is Lance Boyle for my friends at Carl's Chevrolet.
Okay.
And they always say, for my friends at...
Yeah.
You know, I did a lot of endorsements myself. I never said, for my friends at... Because they were not my friends. It was transactional. Maybe they would let me... If I was doing it for Carl's Chevrolet, maybe they'd let me drive a Chevrolet for 3 months or something like that.
Right.
But I never said for my friends that. As soon as I hear that, I think, they're not your friends. Come on, you jackass.
Oh, pass.
Yeah.
Just say the commercial. Don't say for my friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should have said that. Maybe we'd still be on the air if you said that. Right. You know.
Oh, man, do you not think I have not gone over and over all the things I should have done, could have done, would have done? And I
How come you don't write them down and send them to me?
The stupid thing I did, among others, was that I would often make fun of our advertisers.
I know.
I mean, talk about putting a gun to your head. What are you doing? This is how you're getting paid.
I know.
This is where the revenue's coming from, you dork. Don't make fun of them. But I did.
But they got a lot of airtime. That was the trade-off. Yeah. They got talked about
a lot. When
we
would do live commercials, a live commercial is one that you read on the air. It's not pre-recorded.
And it's like 60 seconds, maybe max 2 minutes.
Yeah, maybe, but it's supposed to be generally a minute long, like other commercials are. But I'd go on for sometimes 5 minutes talking about something. So in a way, they were really getting more than their money's worth,
exactly.
even though I was sort of mocking them at the same time. But God love them.
I know.
It's over. My brother reminded me.
Which brother?
This is Mike. And we.
Hi, Mike.
We had a lovely woman named Marie that was a relative of ours. And she had a very nice house down not too far from where we lived in my little town of Bend, Oregon. And she said one day, she said, "Hey, Mike, would you come over here? I need my house painted." Mike didn't know how to paint a house, but he figured, how hard could it be?
You know what? That's weird because he looks like he knows how to paint a house. Like there's a look. You know what I mean? He just looks like he knows how to paint a house.
Well, I think he could paint a house on an easel like a house. But
he looks like he could paint a house, and he also looks like he could like fix a motorhome or something. There's something, I don't know.
He could fix a fight. I don't think he could fix anything else. But so he's painting her house, and it's in the summertime, and it's a blistering, horribly hot day. He's sweating like a hog. And our aunt, Marie, comes out. She apparently takes pity on him and says, "Hey, Mike, would you like some water?" And he said, "Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, there's a garden hose right over there."
That was kind.
Wasn't that kind of her?
Very kind.
Yeah. She didn't, you could turn it on yourself, by the way.
The spigot's right there.
The spigot that you turn. I can't remember if it's clockwise or counterclockwise, but you have a glass of water over there.
And then she went back inside into the air conditioning.
Yeah,
and drank a gin and tonic. Good for her.
Exactly.
All day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water. Cool water. Clear water, water, clear
water. I got a call from a neighbor. They live about three houses down from us. Very nice people. And she calls up and she says, "Hey, did you guys stick a case of wine in my car?" And I said, "What? A case of wine?" She said, "Yes, there's an entire full case of wine in the back of my car. I just noticed it." And we said, "Well,
I have so many questions.
We would put a case of wine in our car. We wouldn't put it in your car."
Are you the first person she called? Or were you like 10th on the list?
You know,
she
I don't know that.
All the neighbors.
If I had to guess, I would say we were first.
You were first.
We were.
I would guess that.
We were the immediate first thought as a suspect.
They're like, "Huh, this is odd. I bet those Cashmans."
Yeah.
So what's the story there?
Well, we did not put the case of wine in her car, and it was a mystery to her. She had gone to the store. Well, here's the point that I'm trying to make, and maybe you've noticed this. At least every other car on the road is white these days. We have two stinking many white cars.
Hey,
I'm looking out my window right now.
Back off, sir.
I'm looking out my car, my window right now, and there are five cars parked in one in front of one house.
They're all white.
One of them's a truck, but it is white too. There are too many white cars.
Hey,
I got to tell you the truth. I'm driving a white car.
I'm driving a white car.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Now, why? Why white? There's other colors available. White
Listen
is so boring.
Listen
white
to
used
me.
To be the color of a car that would be a cop. Cop cars were white. Not
they
regular.
Were?
Regular people cars weren't white. Why are there so many of them?
Well, here's the thing. And then we need to get back to the wine in a moment. But I feel like white cars are clean. They're more visible. People
haven't
aren't
seen
gonna
my
be,
white car, if you think people, they're clean.
People aren't going to be ramming into you because they can see you. And here's the other thing. I think there's too many silver cars. Silver cars are the ones that aren't trying. Mm. I will never drive a silver car ever. Okay. It just, the silver cars going down the road are like, yeah, this. I just don't feel like being a color. So I think those silver cars are the ones that you should be mocking, not the white cars. White cars are clean.
Are you talking about the metallic gray, like the, what do they call that?
I don't care what it is. It's whatever that silver car is, a silver gray car.
Gun gray.
I'm not talking about charcoal. Charcoal's okay. That's a whole different shade, but I'm talking about the light gray car. It's like, it just does not want to try. It's like giving up. It's like, so that's my
well,
take on it.
I don't dispute that the gray cars are also a blight on our American landscape, but white cars are just proliferating like crazy.
Yeah, I don't and know why
so
you're so mad at them.
We finally figured out that a woman that was coming out of the same store at
oh,
the
no.
same time
oh, no.
also had a white car.
That's awesome.
Opened the back hatch and put her wine into the wrong car.
Oh my God, that is a dream come true. Why doesn't that ever happen to me?
You're right, it is a dream come true. So she's trying to, this very well-intentioned neighbor is trying to figure out, well, now what do? I've got this white wine. My wife immediately said, well, it's yours now, baby. Drink it.
That's right. That's right. Finders
keepers.
But this
woman, this goody two-shoes woman said, no, I'm going to take it back to the store. I'm going to explain that to the store people what happened here, what I think happened.
Come on.
And then maybe the woman will come back. I mean, this store where we live now is the most expensive store in America. And so that wine, I'm figuring a case of wine from that place has got to be pushing $200 or more.
Or $10,000.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? It was very expensive. And then she thought about it later. She thought, I remember seeing this woman carrying a case of wine out of the store. And I noticed the car parked right next to me had a man sitting inside in the passenger seat, waiting apparently for her.
And the wine.
And she put the wine into the neighbor's car instead.
I think that's so funny.
And then you put it into the neighbor's car, but then you walk around and get into your own car.
Yeah.
Our conclusion is that woman was hammered. She was already down a case of wine.
But God, why doesn't stuff like that ever happen to me?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know what I'm going to do now.
I could see you carrying a case of wine out to you, what you think is your car.
Hells yeah.
And then driving away.
Hells yeah.
In another car. I could see that. Yeah.
that
would make sense.
Yeah.
In a car. With black curtains near the station.
We haven't talked about AI on this podcast yet.
All right,
and I'm not proposing that we do so now, but
I'm happy to talk about it. We have talked about AI our last couple episodes ago.
Well,
you sent me that. Hey, Lisa, I think you're like this singer, and I'm like, Pat, this isn't even a real person.
Oh, that's right, we did. You know, I can't remember that because I just drank a case of wine recently. that might explain my faulty memory. But I would just tell you this. This AI stuff is creeping me out. And mainly I'm talking about AI-generated women that you see kind of with a come-hither look.
Oh, yeah.
That's supposed to get men excited. And Lisa, you can call me old-fashioned, but I prefer my rubber party dolls to be real. I don't want AI.
Are they rubber or aren't they latex these days?
You know, I don't know.
You're really old school if you have a rubber one.
Oh, well, isn't latex kind of a form of rubber?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
I don't know. Let me look at this again. Okay. I've got it right here. Yeah, you're right. It's latex. It's latex. This woman, by the way, this latex rubber party doll, has a very surprised look on her face.
We always do. Even the real women, when what's going to happen to her is happening to us, that's the exact look we get on her face.
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal.
Well, there is a fake, I can't remember the name of it, but there was a MAGA influencer. So she's a AI generated, and she's, maybe this is what you're going to get to, is she's created a lot of content, and has a, I don't know if it's an OnlyFans page or a Patreon or something's going on where she's just pulling in, she's not real, but that she's wearing like a bikini, an American flag bikini, and she's, you know, go Trump, and these MAGA guys are just like throwing money at her, and it's like, dudes. So I just think that's hilarious that they're throwing money at somebody who's not even real. But
that's what I'm saying. Just be real, okay? Be real with the latex party dolls.
Yeah, she's got really big boobs and but yeah, it's just very weird. So they're built to create engagement and make money. And if people want to throw their money at that, that's none of our business.
Pardon me, miss, but I've never done this with a real live girl. Straight off the farm with an actual armful of real live girls.
Hey, have you ever bought anything? I think that, speaking of the internet, a thing called Marketplace. Are you familiar with that?
What?
Is it a called store? Marketplace. Yeah, what? maybe.
It's you're talking about Facebook Marketplace?
Is it Facebook? I don't know. My wife is on Marketplace a lot.
Facebook Marketplace. Yes, Facebook Marketplace is crazy, dude. You got to get on it.
Why?
Because there are things to be found on there that you cannot find anywhere else.
Are you slapping yourself right
now?
I'm
clapping. Oh, okay. And by the way, I've also unloaded a bunch of crap I don't need on Facebook Marketplace. And it's very easy. And and you can kind of see who the people are. It's a step up, maybe not really, but from like Craigslist or something where you don't really know the people. But you can go check them out and see if they're crazy on their Facebook page before you do a deal with them. So yeah, Facebook Marketplace, man. Where have you been?
Well, I don't know where I've been, but my wife is on Marketplace once in a while, and she had to go show me an item.
See?
That was on Marketplace.
What was it?
It was a jock strap from the 1960s.
See?
And I'm not kidding.
What did I just tell you? You are not going to find that on Amazon.
No, I guess not.
Did she buy it?
Yeah, she did. I mean, she didn't tell me she did, but my birthday's coming up in September.
Oh, I know.
I think I know what I'm getting.
I know.
Gifts are for giving, but what can I give you? You've got it. Life is for living, but what can it offer? You've seen it.
Well, let's put the wraps on this, Lisa. We've gone along far enough.
I don't want to. I'm having fun.
I thought you were hungover, but
I'm.
You're okay?
Yeah, okay. I'm fine.
Drink a lot of coffee. That's what I said.
Oh, I've been pounding it in for, yes. Sir.
I was watching a show where a guy is he's a CIA agent, and he pretends to get drunk. Well, he does get drunk with the bad guys in order to gain their confidence. But then when he leaves them, he goes into his bathroom, throws up, and then climbs into a bathtub full of ice. And apparently what it happens is when you get into ice, it constricts your blood vessels and kind of squeezes the alcohol out or something like that.
Yeah.
You might want to try that. Get yourself, go to the store, get several bags of ice and pour them into your bathtub and get in there. And then let me know how it works out.
No, I think I'll go into my alcohol reeking bed for the rest of the day. I think that's where I'm going to be ending up.
And now, poetry pause.
Young man, I was once in your shoes, I said. I was down and out with the blue. I felt no man cared if I was alive. I felt the whole world was so jive. That's when someone came up to me and said, young man, take a walk up the street. It's a place there called the YMCA. They can start you back on your way. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
This has been Poetry Pause.
Here we go.
All right.
Four Catholic ladies were having coffee. And the first one said, the interesting thing about these women, they all sound exactly the same. All right. So the first one says, my son is a priest. When he walks into a room, everyone calls him father. And then the second lady said, well, my son is a bishop. When he walks into a room, they say, your grace. The third lady said, well, my son's a cardinal. And when he walks into a room, they say, your eminence. And then the fourth lady sipped her coffee in silence. And then the other three said, well, what about it? And she finally says, my son is 6'2", wealthy, and incredibly handsome. And when he walks into a room, people say, oh my God!
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man, pick yourself off the ground. I said, young man, 'cause you're in a new town. There's no need to be unhappy. Young man, there's a place you can go. I said, young man, when you're short on your dough.
For listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.